The opening hymn, Mighty to Save, reminds me of the Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Yes, though your sins be as scarlet, the Lord, through the psalmist, tells us to reason together. That quality of life and mind that separates us from all other creation. As a man was created in the likeness of the Heavenly Father, with like characters of love, justice, and mercy, so too is enabled man to use his reasoning power to understand our justification through the blood of Christ. Though our sins be as scarlet, it is as though the blood that covered us to be viewed as white as snow. You know the illustration the pastor uses? Scarlet viewed through a red glass appears white. Never lose that covering. On his merit, lean. And his blood makes me clean, whiter than snow. Well, we're going to focus our considerations of our devotion this afternoon on the precious promises, on the poems of dawn, and hymns with a message. Now this last is a booklet. Hymns with a Message is a booklet that I picked up from our free table at our Salem convention. And it's filled with an abundance of our hymns with an upbuilding message. And I don't know who wrote that book. I would certainly like to know. Maybe one of you know. But obviously it was a brother or sister in Christ. And we're going to use the services of our brethren to help us in this service. So I won't be standing here and giving you a lecture. I'm going to depend on the brethren to help. Now, I mentioned that I don't claim any authorship to what words are said here from the precious promises or from the words with the message, but I did glean thoughts from these particular books. And we will want to mention that when I call upon your name, I'll name the hymn or I'll name the scripture, and we pass out to certain brethren those scriptures and the precious promises or the poems. We want you to raise your hand so that brother Danny and brother Harry can zero in on you, and we want you to do it out loud, you know, make sure that everybody hears. So our first one is 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. There. There.
2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Reprint 58:63. Precious promises are these, wonderful words of life. Let us count them over and over again, that all their sweet significance may sink deep into our hearts and bring forth their blessed fruitage in our lives. May they cheer us in every dark and trying hour and reinforce our waning powers and renewed vigor, courage, and zeal, that we may press along the narrow way until indeed our eyes shall see the King in His beauty.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Precious promises. You know, we lean upon these precious promises daily, and we must take them in our heart and express them in our lives. So our next is Poems of Dawn, 181, Grace Sufficient. Sister?
Grace Sufficient, Poems of Dawn, 181. Bear the burden of the present, let the morrow bear its own. If the morning sky be pleasant, why the passing night bemoan? If the darkened heavens lower, wrap thy cloak around thy form, Though the tempest rise in power, God is mightier than the storm. Steadfast hope, faith and hope unshaken animate the trusting breast. Step by step the journey's taken, nearer to the land of rest. All unseen the Master walketh by the toiling servant's side. Comfortable words he talketh, while his hands uphold and guide. Grief nor pain nor any sorrow rends thy heart to him unknown. He today and he tomorrow grace sufficient gives his own. Then bear the burden with good cheer. Take promptly up thy daily cross. Nor hesitate to shed a tear, nor reckon o'er thy present loss.
Thank you. He's ever present with us, isn't he? He's by your side. Count that. We're going to sing now 179, Endless Song. Endless Song. This glorious hymn is most wonderfully pictures the joy of the Christian's faith. The experience of the Christian should not be an effervescent one. Outwardly, he may have the same sorrows as others, but inwardly, he has the peace of good which passeth all understanding, dwelling in his heart. It's like living in a new world, wherein the clamor of the present time is indeed heard, but not so much unheeded, because he hears the ringing of music of the new dispensation. The Christian's heart is with his Lord. His expectations are not for earthly wealth or fame, but for kingdom glories, honors, privileges, and services. Even now he rejoices in the wonderful opportunities for serving. He is an ambassador for Christ, a representative of the coming kingdom, a finger post, a director for those who are feeling after God and wishing to be in harmony with him. As the years go by, his faith grows stronger under trials His inmost calm is more serene. He feels like singing. So filled with the Spirit and a sense of divine presence. But we'll next consider the love of the Heavenly Father that He has shown to us in offering such a grand prize to be joint heirs with His Son. Psalm 63:3. Who has that?
Psalm 63:3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. This loving favor of God, so much appreciated by the saints, that they consecrate their earthly all to obtain it, is not merely a favor as respects future prospects and hopes, not merely as respects the kingdom to come and the glory and the honor and immortality then to be granted to such as are in the divine favor, but it extends to the present life. Gradually we come to appreciate fellowship and communion with the Father to such a degree as to produce misery of soul if this communion is interrupted. And this sentiment is beautifully expressed in the hymn which we sometimes sing. Son of my soul, Father dear, I know no night when thou art near, or let no earthly cloud arise to hide thee from thy servant's eyes.
What a favor we have, Heavenly Father, to appreciate that fact. Our next poem will be number 77. Who has number 77? Jolinda.
The clouds hang heavy round my way I cannot see, but through the darkness I believe God leadeth me. 'Tis sweet to keep my hand in His while all is dim, to close my weary, aching eyes and follow Him. Though through many a thorny path He leads my tired feet, through many a path of tears I go, but it is sweet to know that He is close to me, my God, my guide. He leadeth me, and so I walk, quite satisfied. To my blind eyes He may reveal no light at all, but while I lean on His strong arm, I cannot fall.
Thank you. He's always there, ever to strengthen us. I can do all things, what? Through Christ, who strengtheneth me. I wouldn't be able to stand up here without that. Okay, well, let's sing 108. I came to Jesus, 108.
Thank you.
talks about the fulfillment of what Brother Dick talked to us about. Coming to Jesus signifies the acceptance of Him as the great and powerful Savior whom the Heavenly Father has appointed and sent forth as His own representative to recover us out of our fallen, simple, dying condition. Coming to Jesus, we first ascertain of what terms He will receive us, become our advocate, and induct us into the Heavenly Father's family. We hear the words, "If any man wills to be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But the surrender of our will is merely the first step. Next comes the daily life taking up of the cross, doing the Lord's will in opposition to our own will and the will of our friends and various opposing influences. To be a Christian is to be a follower of the Lamb. As Jesus gave up His will to do the Father's will, so do all of His followers. Our next consideration is the care that the Heavenly Father has for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Who has that? Oh, here we go.
Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. These experiences the Lord permits for the very purpose of leading His people to cast their care upon Him, of bringing them closer to Himself, of teaching them patient endurance, of showing them more fully their need of Him, their utter helplessness and wretchedness without Him. Anxieties that would rob us of our peace in the Lord should be dropped, not carelessly, however, but intelligently, with the thought that Jesus, our great burden-bearer, has invited us, yea, urged us to cast all our care, all that would disturb our peace, upon Him. He will make our burden light and ease our tribulations. This is the test of faith and cannot be attained otherwise than through faith in His love, faith in His promises. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
He's ever there for us. Homes of Dawn 69. Patty.
How strong and sweet my Father's care, the words like music in the air, come answering to my whispered prayer, He cares for thee. The thought great wonder with it brings, my cares are all such little things, but to this truth my glad faith clings, He cares for me. Yea, keep me ever in thy love, dear Father watching from above, and let me still thy mercy prove and care for me. Cast me not off because of sin, but make me pure and true within, and teach me how thy smile to win, who cares for me. O still in summer's golden glow, or wintry storms of wind and snow, love me, my Father, let me know thy care for me. And I will learn to cast the care, which like a heavy load I bear, down at thy feet in lowly prayer, and trust in thee. For naught can hurt me, shade or shine, nor evil thing touch me, nor mine, since thou with tenderest divine dost care for me.
Thank you. Never realize His care for you. Let's sing 119, hymn 119. I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour.
certainly need him. After we came to Jesus and made a full surrender to him of our wills and took up our cross to follow him, he became our advocate with the Father. And we received the begetting of the Holy Spirit and became children of God. Then came the lesson of this hymn. The Christian undertakes a great contract in his engagement to be loyal to the will of God at the sacrifice of his own will in every affair of life. These will need him in the hour of trial, in the hour of pain and sickness and sorrow, as their comforter, as their sympathizing friend above all others. Truly, the Lord's people who have entered the new life and are walking with the Master, life would seem a vain thing without the companionship of their heavenly Lord. We need the Lord as our teacher. We need to watch his footsteps and to walk in them, to note how he followed not his own will, but the Father's will, that we may thus, following his example, have the right to claim the rich promises of God's word, which assure us that if we are faithful in walking with the Savior, we ultimately share in his glories, his honor, and immortality. We need him every hour. Our next consideration deals with the wondrous grace the Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us, especially through the gift of his wonderful Son, that unspeakable gift. James 1:17.
James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Only those who have been brought to a clear knowledge of the plan of God can really rejoice in those assurances which the Scriptures give of the unchangeableness of his character and the certainty that all his purposes shall be accomplished.
All things will be accomplished. We know it to be true. Homes of Dawn, 106. Homes of Dawn, 106.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, sang a little child one day, and a weary woman listened to the darling's happy lay. All her life seemed dark and gloomy, all her heart was sad with care. Sweetly rang out baby's trouble, all our sins and griefs to bear. She was pointing out the Savior who would carry every woe, and the one who sadly listened needed that dear helper so. Sin and grief were heavy burdens for a fainting soul to bear, but the baby singer bade her take it to the Lord in prayer. With a simple, trusting spirit, weak and worn, she turned to God, asking Christ to take her burden, owning him as her dear Lord. Jesus was her only refuge. He could take her sin and care, and he blessed the weary woman when she came to him in prayer. And the happy child, still singing, little knew she had a part in God's wondrous work of bringing peace into a troubled heart.
Thank you. We'll sing 37, Boundless Grace.
Yeah.
hearts bound to him? The Bible presents the great Jehovah God as the fountain of all blessing, both to angels and to men, the Father of mercies, whom cometh down every good and perfect gift. We properly appreciate our Lord Jesus Christ as the honored channel through which the divine blessings come to us. But we must look to the Heavenly Fathers chiefly, as the Apostle has directed, saying, all things are of the Father, all things are by the Son. Our next consideration deals with our need of strength in trial. Psalm 27, 1.
Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Reprint 2016. This text suggests the proper frame of mind for all the Lord's people who are now fighting the good fight of faith. Though the situation may look dark and dangerous, and though foes may multiply and perplexities increase, it bids them fear not. Reprint 19:15. This consolation, variously expressed throughout the Scriptures, comes with all its blessed potency in our times of greatest need. Courage, born of faith and strengthened by endurance, cries with humble boldness in the midst of the deepest darkness, of the most perplexing difficulties, and in the midst of the wildest storms and most threatening dangers. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Thank you. Strength of our life. Are you afraid? Shouldn't be. Just for today, Poems of Dawn 114.
Just for today, Lord, for tomorrow and its needs, I do not pray. Keep me from any stain of sin just for today. Let me both diligently work and duly pray. Let me be kind in word and deed just for today. Let me be slow to do my will, prompt to obey. Help me to sacrifice myself just for today. Let me no wrong nor idle word and thinking say. Set thou thy seal upon my lips just for today. So for tomorrow and its needs, I do not pray, but keep me, guide me, hold me, Lord, just for today.
Okay, thank you. I will sing 137. 137, Jesus, refuge of my soul.
Thank you.
After the close of the Civil War, an excursion party was steaming down the Chesapeake Bay. A Christian man on board of splendid voice was asked to sing for the entertainment of the party. He chose this hymn, rendering it with great pathos. As he finished, a gentleman in the audience elbowed his way toward the singers and asked, "Neighbor, were you in the Civil War?" "Why, yes," was his reply. "I was on the Union side." "Well, were you in such a battle? And do you remember the night before?" The answer was, "Yes, I remember it well." It was a dark night, and a battle was expected the next day. I had written my farewell home. I was assigned to picket duty and was feeling extremely sad and burdened of soul. I remembered that as I walked on sentry duty, I sang this hymn, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly." "Well, stranger," said the other, "I remember that night too. I heard you sing that hymn, and it made a deep impression upon me. I knew your voice when I heard it just now. I was on the southern side. I had you covered with my rifle and was about to shoot you. But stranger, as you sang, cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. That power came over me, which I could not resist. And he did not shoot. Humanly speaking, your singing that hymn saved your life." There are times of stress in the affairs of all, and they need the refuge, the protecting care of heaven. And none but Christians have this protecting care. None but they have the divine assurance that all things will be supervised and overruled for their welfare. None but they, therefore, can rejoice in tribulation. Our next consideration deals with the sun and shield of our faith. Psalm 84:11.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Reprint 42:19. Our text is a great encouragement to the David class, the beloved class, the anointed ones, the members of Christ. To these, the Lord God is both a sun and shield. He not only enlightens these, but he will not suffer them to be injured by the blessings which he bestows upon them. He will shield them from all enemies and everything that would tend to injure them in any manner. All things shall work together for good to those that love him, to the called ones according to his purpose. With such blessed assurances, then, we may look forward into the future with rejoicing and with confidence, trusting to have a share in the glorious rewards God has promised to the faithful.
Thank you. the sun and our shield. Poems of Dawn, 183. Poems of Dawn, 183.
Your Father knoweth what things you have need of. Poems of Dawn, 183. Our Father knows what things we need each step along the way. His eye of love doth never sleep. He watches night and day. He knows sometimes, like ripening grain, we need the sunshine bright. Again, he sends the peace that comes with shadows of the night. Sometimes our pride would fain unfurl ambition's flaunting sail. Ah, then he knows we need to walk humiliation's veil. Sometimes he takes our eager hands and folds them on our breasts. He gently lays our work aside. He knows we need to rest. Sometimes we need companionship, sometimes the wilderness. How sweet to feel he'll know and give the state that most will bless. Then let us leave it all with him, assured that, come what may, our Father know just what we need upon our pilgrim way.
Thank you. And we'll sing, you guessed it, 273. 273, the Lord, a sun and shield. Reach down deeply into the recesses of the heart than this one. Following the line of the 84th Psalm, it pictures the Almighty God as both a sun to enlighten and a shield to protect his trustful, obedient children. What Christian cannot appreciate his need of a shield and a refuge against the storms of life? How blessed when he can realize, as in this hymn, it is expressed that the Lord is his refuge and fortress, an ever-present help in trouble. Whatever may be the suffering because of obedience to righteousness now, in the ground outworking of God's plan through Messiah's kingdom, every foe must bow, and every sufferer for doing the will be gloriously rewarded. Our last consideration is the goal set before us. Revelation 2:10.
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Unto death would in this text mean a faithfulness which would persist until the sacrifice is finished in death, a faithfulness ready to encounter death at any moment, which would lead to the performance of the covenant of sacrifice even unto its consummation. Each one who is victorious will receive a crown of life. It will not be a crown that will soon fade, or one that will last only a certain number of years, but a crown of everlasting life. And not only so, but the Lord shows us that this crown of everlasting life will be a crown of superior life, life on the very highest plane. Those who attain restitution during the millennial age will have everlasting life on the human plane. The angels will have everlasting life on the spirit plane. But this crown of life, given to the more than conquerors, will be the very highest form of spirit life, immortality, far above all other planes of life, as the special reward for being victors in this race. Let us so run that we may obtain. The goal is near.
And Poems of Dawn, 154.
Nearing the goal. With eyes aflame, with panting breath, they come, the runners, every nerve and muscle tense, urged toward, forward by a thousand deafening cries. On they rush, when one, close to the goal, for but one moment, glances back in pride, to note how far he hath outrun the rest. Alas, tripped by a pebble on the course, he stumbles, falls, arises, but too late. Another sweeps ahead with blood-flecked lips and bursting heart. One final awful strain with superhuman effort, grand, supreme, he leaps into the air and falls in death across the line, a victor. But at what a fearful cost, he gave his life, his all. I ponder o'er this tragedy of days when Greece was mistress of the world and say, hast not thou also entered a race, my soul, in contest for a crown of life? A prize thou canst not win except thine all thou givest. Then be wise and watch and pray. Turn not thine eyes one instant from the mark, for fear thou dash thy foot against some small, well-rounded truth, which in thy pride thou hast overlooked, and thus thou stumble, fall, and though thou shouldest arise, 'twould be too late to win. Ah, then, consider thy forerunner Christ. Yea, call to mind the cloud of witnesses around, noble, those noble, faithful ones of old. And strip thyself, my soul, of every weight. Gird up thy loins, make straight paths for thy feet. Breathe deeply of the Spirit's conquering power, and run with patience, meek, enduring zeal. Almost thou hast attained, my soul, my soul. Shall angels, principalities, or powers, or height, or depth, or other creature draw thee from the goal so near? Ah, yes, so near. The glory light streams through the parting veil. Have faith, press on, one effort, grand supreme, and thou hast won in death love's blood-bought crown.
Thank you. The hymn we're about to sing, I'll make the comments here before this closing hymn. And this beautiful hymn, which commemorates the Psalm 17:15, has entered deeply into the spiritual life of many of the Lord's saintly people. It tells of their trials and tests, their hopes and joys, their final victory. It tells of the necessity for pain, difficulties, and disappointments now, that their affections may be the more separated from earthly things and set permanently upon the things above. This one who lives the sentiment of this hymn will surely be a burning and shining light in this life, and in the future, part of the glorious Sun of Righteousness, which is to illuminate the whole world. May the Lord let his blessing be faithful to your brethren, that you may win that crown and share in bringing the blessings of the kingdom to the sin-sick world. We're going to sing in closing 105, 105, and we've sang this before, but it bears re-singing. 105.